Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, in the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Genesis chapter 18, the first 15 verses, Genesis 18, verses 1 through 15. But first, we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis chapter 18, the first 15 verses. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes, and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal and long-suffering God, who permittest us with our children to be spared through another night and through another week where we have heard that it was different with that old couple here in this town. In the week that is gone by, when they have gone into their bed in the night, and when they have not wakened in the morning, Lord, we from our side cannot protect ourselves and cannot preserve ourselves for one moment. And yet, though we have sinned against thee, and left the days without number, and though we are without excuse because we hear thy word day after day and week after week, and yet we have no desire for the knowledge of thy ways, yet thou still bearest with us and our dear children, that thou bringest us one more time into thy house of God. We do not know whether we shall ever come to this place again. For our life that is as the grass, in the morning it groweth up and the wind bloweth over it, and it is gone. That thou would give to us in this morning, and that humility and that place that we cannot give to us ourselves. Lord, show to us what wretched creatures that we are, that we may be humbled in the dust before thee, and that we may see what our sin is, that we have sinned in paradise, and that we continue to sin against thee day by day and moment by moment. And there is not one of us that is different. Our hearts are a sepulcher. We come nicely dressed to thy house, but Lord,
Thou knowest what that fountain of iniquity is within us, and that there is not one of us that is clean in thy holy sight, that we are so worthy that thou shouldst cast us out of thy holy sight, and that thou shouldst never look upon us again, as thy servant did declare, I am unworthy of the least of all thy notice and all thy attention. And yet, Lord, thy mercies and thy long suffering is so great over us. Wilt thou remember those that mourn? And oh, that thou may give to them also an impression in these days, what it is to live and what it is to die. And all those that mourn, also those of our sister congregation in this area, thou knowest each and every one, wilt thou supply when that great separation has come between man and man in this world, whom we delight in the society of one another. But Lord, then there comes an end, and we have to part with one another. And parting that is so impossible for our flesh. But wilt thou give a little a comfort from above? But may it be also instruction to them and us. Lord, if we receive no instruction as we travel together to that great eternity, no instruction from on high, and no teaching of thy Holy Spirit, then we shall die in that same state in which we have been born. But oh, for a little instruction, a little impression, not only just in an outward way, but may it be a saving impression, an impression made by thy Holy Spirit that shall never be taken away. Oh, that new life may be planted in our soul in this morning hour, even in consideration of thy holy word, even in thy house of prayer. And for this reason we beseech of thee, Lord, that thou may also come up in this morning into thy house of prayer with us. Oh, that the desire of thy servant, who did desire thy presence and thy nearness, thy house of prayer may also be our desire and our cry in this morning hour, that thy presence may go up with us, and that thy Spirit may dwell amongst us and go from heart to heart. Lord, wilt thou look upon us when we have no desire? Oh, thou canst give desire. And we need it not only in an outward way, but we need it inwrought in our soul, that it may be to the saving of our soul. Oh, look upon us then in this morning. Oh, there is no reason for us to hope in ourselves, O Lord. For we do show what we are day after day. And when it may be a little different by moments in an outward way, then it is only that it may be made manifest in the furtherance of our life, what is living in our wretched heart. Oh, that thou may give life where there is none. And may thou give an increase also where thou hast given that life. That thou may lead from step to step upon that way to Zion. We may read it in thy holy word, that it is a way wherein thou leadest thy church, a way wherein they often do not understand. There is a way where they need to be taken by the hand, that they need to be led from step to step. because they do not know how to go further. And Lord, to go back again, that is for them an impossibility. And for it is but death that lies behind them. It is but a city of destruction. And in that way of sin, in that way that they have been born, they know that they shall surely die. But there are also so many fears. There are also so many perplexities that lie before thy people. And that faith that thou hast planted, that is not able to be exercised from their own sight. Lord, we beseech thee that thou may come unto thy own people, and that thou may feed them in this day with that manna which is from above, wherein thou didst say that I am the bread of life. Oh, that they may eat a little of that bread, that thou art the fountain of living waters, that people, that they may have a little thirst in this morning hour, and when there is none, that thou may give it in these moments, that they also may drink deeply from that fountain of life, that they may receive the restoration and the activity of that beloved faith that is to the glory and to the honor of thy holy name, and that they may know in whom that they have believed. Lord, look upon the little lambs, those that do not know the right hand from the left, those that live so much from the feeling, and that they have no knowledge. Lord, may thou give that instruction also unto them. Then it is a way wherein, if we knew what lay before us, then we would hardly dare to go forward, because it is such a disappointing way for our flesh. Lord, it is a way wherein we would never take one step. But oh, it is a blessed way wherein thou wilt give thy people to know a wonder here below by moments, a wonder therein that they shall forever magnify and glorify thy great and holy name. Oh, that it may be experienced also in this thy day, that thou would look upon us when we are on the outside of it, and yet that we think that we are on the inside. Oh, Lord, what a way. What a way to travel to that great eternity. What a way to travel to that moment that we have to leave this life, that we have to stand before our judge, whose eye will pierce through all our false faces, all through all of our hypocrisies, and that will that will bring us into judgment, and that will show to us in that moment the reality. Oh, Lord, prevent it. Oh, prevent it in mercy. Oh, and we must be humbled in the sight of man. When we must be humbled in our own sight. When we must be brought down from our throne. When what we have taken needs to be removed from us, when we need to be stripped, oh Lord, work through. Work through, Lord, for the glory of thy name and for the salvation of our souls. And leave us not to deceive ourselves. And give us also wisdom as thy servant, to bring forth those marks of thy true church, that we indeed may be enabled in thy house to examine ourselves against thy holy word, that we may know that one point, am I his or am I not? Look upon us in all the needs of this life, in all the cares and the concerns for the body and for the welfare of our life here below. Lord, wilt thou supply that we may receive from day to day what is necessary, that we may not seek to have all the riches of this world, to increase that we may enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That is what our heart cleaves after, Lord. Wilt thou take it away from us, and that thou would give to us a desire after the true and the living God, that we may use the substance of this world as not abusing it, and that our treasure may be in the things that are above, and that so we may be given to walk also with our dear children, look upon them in the days of their youth. O give to them early to seek their Maker, that they may also find thee, and that thou would so look on us all together, remember us in our walks of life. Lord, thou knowest that we profess to have thy truth. We profess to serve thee who art the true and the living God. And our life that is before thee, our life that is before one another, and our life that is also before the world about us. Oh, that thou may remember us and give to us an impression of the importance, and that we walk a life that is not bringing upon thy name shame even in this world, and that we may have a desire even to be as thy servant who said, I will not take one thread or one shoe latchet, lest thou should say that I have made Abraham rich. Lord, so he would glorify thee. Oh, that it also may be in our hearts in every way, and that so the things of eternity, that they may be bound upon our hearts, and that we may realize that we travel to thee. Lord, wilt thou look upon us, each and every one, in this thy holy day. It is the beginning of thy day. It is the time wherein we have entered into thy house of prayer. And thou knowest how that the buyers and the sellers, they can so easy come with us. And that wretched prince out of the deep, oh, thou knowest him also. Lord, wilt thou put him away for a little while? And wilt thou come in the midst of us? Become too strong for us, and wilt thou reign in our heart, and wilt thou help us in the preaching? Thou knowest our need, and strengthen us in the body, in the mind, give in our soul a love for thee and for this work, and for this people over whom thou hast made us overseer. And give that we may receive a little liberty to speak unto the heart, and that thou thyself may bring it there, that it may be as a two-edged sword. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, undeservedly, in the name of thy only begotten Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Psalter 382, stanzas 1 through 5. Lord, thou hast searched me, and dost know where'er I rest, where'er I go. Thou knowest all that I have planned, and all my ways are in thy hand. The last collection today is for our school. Psalter 382, stanzas 1 through 5. congregation, the Lord said unto Samuel, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And that word that is true in several ways. We know, children, that Samuel was to anoint a king. And when Samuel saw all the sons of Jesse go before him, then he was looking for a man of a beautiful appearance, even as King Saul. He was a goodly person to look upon. And thus, we see what is desirous in the eyes of a man. But the Lord was looking for a different kind of a beauty. And what kind of beauty is that? That is the beauty within, and that is the fear of the Lord. That is what the Lord is looking for within the heart of a person. David's son, Solomon, he said that the way of every man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. It is possible that the same deed is done by two persons, and in one it is sin, and in the other not. We read of a widow in the time of the Lord Jesus who brought just a little bit of money and put that into the treasury. And the Lord commended her for that little bit. But then we read of two others that brought also a gift, and the Lord slew them for it. We know, children, what Cain did, how that he slew his brother, and the Lord punished him for this. And yet we read about Phinehas, who has taken a dagger, and he has slain two persons therewith, and the Lord has for this given him an everlasting priesthood. Thus, why is it? Same deeds. One is commended and one is punished. It is because the Lord weighs the heart. Teachers, parents, when we must discipline our students, our children, then it is always necessary that we investigate. That we are looking not only for an outward deed, but that we are also looking for a motive, for an intention, wherein lies the sin of man. Abraham now, and Sarah, they have also done the same thing. Do you remember what Abraham has done? He laughed. And now together we read that Sarah has also laughed. Thus it is the same deed. And yet the Lord treats them so very, very differently. Why? This we wish to consider together in this morning out of this portion, Genesis 18, and thereof the 14th verse, the first part, Genesis 18, verse 14a. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So far the words of our text. The Lord's rebuke of Sarah's sin. First, declaring his omniscience. Second, declaring his omnipotence. The Lord's rebuke of Sarah's sin. First, this rebuke is declaring his omniscience. What is that, children? That is, that he knows everything. That is what we see in that rebuke. Second, this rebuke is declaring his omnipotence. What is that? That is, that he is all powerful. Where is Sarah, thy wife? Wives, how would your husband give an answer unto the Lord when the Lord would come to them and when we would ask them this question, where is thy wife? It is not man that has given to the man and the woman their place in this world, but it is the Lord. Therefore, it is also the prerogative of the Lord to ask, where is Sarah thy wife? And what does the Lord say in his word? We read that a woman, she is to be a keeper at home. Is that also true of us, wives? Is that where we love to be, or do we love always to be wandering? A woman's place, a woman's position is a place of such great importance and of such great blessedness in this world. Do you believe that, young girls? That place of the woman, that is a very high place. And it is also a very honorable place. That is a place that is given by the Lord himself. That is a place that is despised by the women's liberation movement of our day. Then it wants the woman to be in a different place. It wants the woman to be in the place of the man. But what would happen when we would miss that place of that woman within the home, to be a keeper at home, who has more influence in this society than a wife and a mother? As she is raising the future generation, as she is raising the future husbands and the future wives, as she is raising the future fathers and the future mothers, as she is raising the future office bearers, and then she may be entrusted to this place by the Lord herself. When those children, they are so young, and when they are so young, then their character is already being shaped and formed in the days of their youth. What man is there in this world that would not say and that it was his mother who has been the most influence on his character, on his habits, on his opinions in this life. May the Lord strengthen our wives. May the Lord strengthen our mothers and give them to feel something of the importance of that place. And may the Lord remember also our young girls, that you would not have that same opinion as the world. What a blessing for Abraham when the Lord may say to Abraham, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" That he may give this answer, "Behold, in the tent." We know that Abraham has here guests. Hospitality, that is one of our duties. Abraham sees these three men from a little bit of a distance. We read that he runs to those men. He thinks that those men, they are just passing through the country and they are going to be going on again. And the Lord in his providence has given that these men may come near to his own place. And thus, Abraham has a desire to minister to the needs of these men. They do not have a dwelling place in this area. They are probably very tired. They are probably hungry. They are probably thirsty. And Abraham has a desire to give to them, to minister to their needs as they are upon their journey. He does not expect to see them again. He does not expect to receive anything in return from them again. No, it is out of charity that Abraham desires to minister unto these men. Paul uses this to urge our duty of hospitality upon ourselves. Be not afraid to entertain strangers, he says, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. It is interesting what John Calvin writes about this. He says, "The great number of inns is evidence of our depravity, that the principal duty of humanity has become obsolete among us." Thus, hospitality. Abraham hastens to have their feet washed and to prepare for them this meal. Does not realize that they do not need a meal. They do not need a meal. Children, why do they not need a meal? Have they just eaten? No. But they are angels. And one of them that is the Lord himself. Thus these angels do not need to eat at all. These angels, they do not become weary. They do not need to rest at all. And yet they do. And yet they receive this food and this drink from Abraham. Why? Well, for the moment, they have taken these bodies upon themselves, and they are for a time appearing in the appearance of a man, and they will conceal for the moment their identity. And then we see that this hospitality that is lying in the heart of Abraham, that is not only because these are angels of the Lord, because it is the Lord himself. No, the apostle says that he did not know who they were. Thus it shows and that Abraham would have given this to them had it not been the angels of the Lord. Where is Sarah thy wife? Sarah was not sitting with them. Sarah was not eating with them. Why not? Because that was not their custom. The women, especially if there were guests, the women did not eat with the men, but the men and the women, they ate by themselves. But the Lord asked Abraham this question, and why is he asking, where is Sarah thy wife? He's asking this because it is now, it is this time for Sarah that Abraham, that the Lord has come. And the Lord does not violate the custom. He does not go against the custom that Sarah, she is not eating with them. No, congregation, that custom was not necessary. And yet customs, they have their place within our society to moderate men. And the Lord, he does not go against this custom, but the Lord desires that Sarah, she shall be within ear's reach. He is not going to speak. He is not going to directly address Sarah. But he is going to address her husband, and he will have Sarah to hear it. We know, congregation, that the Lord has said that the woman is not to speak within the church. And why is that? Well, the Lord says that the woman was the instrument in the deception and in the fall of man. Not that man is now any better in that sense than the woman, because man, he has also fallen. But because the woman was the instrument, then the Lord says the woman is to keep silence within the church. But that does not mean that that woman is not going to receive a blessing within the church. No, that is the most important part. Not that we may speak in the church, but that we may receive a blessing within the church. And then sometimes the Lord is not speaking in a direct way. We think in a special way when the Lord comes to dine with his people at that holy supper of the Lord, that sometimes the Lord has reserved a blessing for one who is not at that table. That he has reserved a blessing for one who may not be in attendance. Maybe one who is listening. That the Lord is speaking actually in more of an indirect manner. And then there are sometimes people that may hear their name as they are behind the Lord. And as they are sitting in the tent with Sarah, and when they may hear the Lord speaking unto his people, and then that people may sometimes hear their own name. And thus the Lord reveals something of what? Of his omniscience. He knows everything. Oh, she knows also her name. Where is Sarah thy wife? And he knows also her case. He knows her circumstances. He knows everything about Sarah. And not only so, but he knows also what is going on in the heart of Sarah. How do we know? We know that by his question.
Wherefore did Sarah laugh?
Say, children, well, if Sarah could hear the Lord speaking, then maybe the Lord heard Sarah laughing. Can that be? No, that cannot be. Then you have to read it more closely. Because when we read that Sarah laughed, we read that Sarah laughed within herself. Thus, she did not laugh out loud. That she was not heard by Abraham, by the angels, by the Lord. And yet the Lord knew what was going on in that heart of Sarah. And not only did he know what was going on in her heart, not only did he know that in her heart she was laughing, but he also knew the reason that she laughed. How do we know this? Well, that is in the words of our text. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, she knew that Abraham, he knew that Abraham laughed, but that Sarah had laughed for a different reason than Abraham laughed. That Abraham's laugh was not a laugh that needed to be rebuked, no, but that Sarah's laugh was a laugh of unbelief. Congregation, there is nothing hid from the Lord. In our text, the Lord declares his omniscience, that he knows what is in our thoughts. But he knows not only our thoughts, but he knows also the reasons, the intentions, the motives of our hearts. And that is not only in the natural things of this world, but that is also in spiritual matters. He knows of that wretched unbelief, and he knows why and that that unbelief is there. Sarah tries to hide it. She says, I laugh not, but she cannot hide it. He says, nay, but thou didst laugh. And Sarah lies, even to the Lord. What is that proof of? Oh, Sarah was a blessed woman. Sarah had the fear of the Lord in her heart. And yet, here is that proof. Oh, what is that wretched natural man? He has lost the knowledge of God. Sarah thinks for a moment that she is able to hide something from God. That the Lord is not omniscient, that the Lord does not know everything. I laughed not. Just as if the Lord was like unto herself, unto her husband, that the Lord cannot know anything further than he can hear or that he can see in this world. And that is not only in his knowledge, but also in his power. We see that in our second thought, wherein he declares his omnipotence. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That is now the reason that Sarah laughed. She thought it was too hard for the Lord. What was too hard? What had the Lord said? I will certainly return to thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Why did Sarah think that this was too hard for the Lord? Well, we read that Sarah was well stricken in age. We read that it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. What does that mean, boys and girls? That means that she has become old, and women, they have children when they are younger, and when they get older, then the Lord does not give them children anymore. After I am old, shall I have pleasure, she says, my Lord being old also. Why does Sarah think that this is too hard for the Lord? Because it is unnatural. Because it is uncommon. Because it would be so out of the ordinary. Why? Because actually the Lord would have to work a miracle for this to take place. Why does Sarah think it is too hard for the Lord? Because it is not according to her senses. It is not according to her circumstances. She cannot see how that the circumstances of this life could possibly be one and possibly agree with this promise of the Lord. Oh, what low thoughts does Sarah have of God? Human thoughts of God. Earthly thoughts of God. Not only of his omniscience, that he is like to man, that he does not know everything, but also as to his omnipotence, as to his power. Are we, congregation, any different than Sarah? If it is not possible for us, then we question if it is possible at all. What do? We make his knowledge as our knowledge. We make his wisdom as our wisdom. We make his power just as our power. And what is our knowledge? That is ignorance. And what is our power? That is weakness. But what does Paul say? He says, the foolishness of God that is wiser than men, if there is any such thing as the foolishness of God. And the weakness of God, as if there is such a thing, is stronger, he says, than men. Thus, the Lord from heaven, then he looks down and he despises, he disdains all the impossibilities of man. Our limiting of God that is born out of our ignorance of God. And we have lost that true knowledge of God. And now it is bad enough, that limiting of God in itself. But that limiting of God has its further consequences. And what is the further consequence of that limiting of God? That is to discredit his word. Because Sarah limits the Lord, she does not believe that that word of the Lord is true. That she is going to have a son. She questions it. She doubts it. She mistrusts his word. Thus, she separates the attributes of God, the might of God, from the word of God, from his promise. She separates his ability. his omnipotence from his word. And it is this separation that is causing her unbelief, that discredit of his word. It would be one thing if Sarah did not know what the will of the Lord was. It would be one thing if the Lord had never revealed, if the Lord had never spoken unto Sarah that she would have a son. Then it would be very natural for Sarah to look at all the circumstances to say, I am old, well stricken in years. It ceases to be with me after the manner of women. No, I shall not have a son. Then the Lord has not spoken. And congregation, if the Lord has not spoken unto us, then we need not talk about unbelief. But here it is different. Here the Lord has spoken. Here the Lord has revealed his will. Here the Lord has promised unto Sarah something. And Sarah knows what the Lord has said, but she does not believe it. Why not? Because her views, her estimation of the Lord is so earthly, is so carnal. What an awful conflict is lying by times within that heart of that true church of God. Oh, the Lord is so good to Sarah. The Lord rebukes her. And at the same time, the Lord instructs her. What does he say? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, Sarah, be ashamed of your low thoughts of me. And then he repeats himself. He repeats his promise. He says, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Is that not a wonder? All the sin and all the unbelief of that people, that does not take away anything of the promise of the Lord. Nothing. Why? Because, congregation, it is not dependent upon them. It is a one-sided work. And that people are not able to sin it away. Let us sing 373, 3 through 6. I know that the Lord is almighty, supreme in dominion is he, performing his will and good pleasure in heaven and in earth and the sea. 373, 3 through 6. Thank you. Congregation, is anything too hard for the Lord? There is so much that is too hard for us. There is so much that is impossible for us. But is anything too hard for the Lord? Are you unconverted? And is it impossible to become converted? Is your heart too hard? Are you too dead? Do you say it will never happen? That I will be buried as the wicked, who had come and gone from that place of the holy? Why? Because you cannot give life unto your own soul? Is it because you cannot get out of your heart one true sigh or one true cry unto God? Is it because all your reading and all your attending and all your supplications, they have not brought you one step closer unto God? Is there one in this morning who has decided to stop coming? That you say, I come one last time, and then I will not come there anymore, because it is impossible. Or is anything too hard for the Lord? Is His power just like your power? Is He limited because you are limited? Is He dead because you are dead? Indeed, the Lord Jesus said to that rich young ruler of Him, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into that kingdom of God. And it is not our poverty, it is our riches that prevent us from entering into that kingdom. And yet the Lord Jesus declares, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Do you say you are too old to receive new life in your soul? Have you become even 90 years old? And then you say, what is the general way of the Lord? That is not to give it to us when we are old, but the general way of the Lord, that is to give it to us when we are young. Have you passed that time of the general working of the Lord? And is it therefore impossible? Or is anything too hard for the Lord, who gave life in that womb of Sarah when she was 90 years old? Or have you sinned too long? Do you say that sin that has become entrenched in me And it is impossible for that way of sin, that life of sin now, anymore, to be broken. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Are your sins, congregation, too many? Is that mountain of sin too high? Is that load of guilt too weighty? Is there anything too hard from the Lord? Have you turned away too many times and again come around to ask for forgiveness, and then left the Lord again, even 7 times, 70 times, that you say, now it is impossible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Are your sins, congregation, too filthy? Would you not dare to mention it even to your best friend? The things that you have done in secret, that you say, I am too filthy, is anything too hard for the Lord? Have you gone too far in sin that you say it was not only privately, but I have done it publicly? I have done it before the whole world. I have gone to great lengths. I have gone to the extreme. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is that fountain, congregation, too deep? That fountain that it cannot be cleansed anymore. All that lies within me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is that wall that separates between God and your soul, is that too thick? That it can never be broken? Is that breach between you and He, is that too wide that it can never be overbridged? Is that gulf, is that too deep? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Do you say, my case is so singular? No one in the whole world has done as I have done. Now my minister, he has gone from one case to the next. Mine is not there, because he cannot even enter into my case. What I have done, who I am, is anything too hard for the Lord? What did the Lord Jesus say to the Pharisees? He said, you are of your father the devil. Why? because the devil lived in them. And what did those Pharisees say of him? They said, "You are not the Son of God." They would limit him. They would limit him only to his humanity. "You are but a man, and you are not God." Thus, they would deprive him of his divine power. And what did the Lord Jesus say to them? He said, "You are of your father, the devil." That is Satan's work. Satan, who lives within each and every one of us, to do that same thing, to limit God. He is no less busy today than he was then. To limit God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Why, that man would despair of help and hope in God, because they must despair of help and hope in self. People of the Lord, is it not sin to separate the attributes of God from his word, his power, his omnipotence? And what is his word? What word has he spoken to you? What is that word upon which he has caused you to hope? And now, what is the strife? What is your strife? What is your strife concerning the fulfillment of that word? Is the time too long? Is the silence of the Lord too confirming that it is not indeed true? Does your sin against received grace render everything null and void? Is your zeal nothing but a slothfulness? Do your circumstances, the way you see everything, does that make it more and more unreasonable that you should ever experience the fulfillment of that word of the Lord, so that you dare now say that it is impossible? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Does he not declare himself to be the Almighty God? "I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. I am the All-Sufficient One." What does Job say? "Oh, I know that thou canst do everything." Young people, do your university professors sometimes shake you at your very foundation, at their wicked denial of God and their exaltation of man? Do you have no answer when they will lay out their proofs, their so-called proofs of the denial of the creation and the denial of providence and their denial of the resurrection of the dead and their denial of the final judgment of God? Is there not but one answer? That answer of the man who will take his rightful place before The God of heaven and of earth. One answer. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Are not all the nations to him as nothing, and counted by him as less than nothing? To whom then will ye liken God? And who shall you compare unto him? But finally, congregation, do we live on carelessly? Do we live on? Do we go from day to day without heeding, without listening to the warnings, to the callings of the Lord? Do we limit the Lord? Do we say it cannot be that he is coming again to judge the quick and the dead? Because I have seen nothing like this in my life before. Because when I look around me, then this whole world that seems so big and it seems so stable, how could it be that the heavens could be wrapped together as a scroll? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord, who could open the heavens and rain down the water and open the fountains of the deep and flood this whole world and at the same time save believing Noah and his family. That's two sides. The Lord. Is there anything too hard for him who can rain fire and brimstone upon that wicked city and at the same time, at his good pleasure, to deliver just Lot who vexed his righteous soul day by day? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Congregation, where shall we stand? And how will we one day experience that there is nothing, nothing that is too hard for him? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O teach us who thou art. Teach us who we are, that it may be for our salvation, for the comfort of thy people, and for our warning. O bless thy word, forgive our sins, bring us safely to our homes, and with desire in thy house in this afternoon, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 362, 1, 2, and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 1, 2, and 3 of 362. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings. Blessing.